Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
All right, so please join me in this opening invocation. There's only one. One divine love, one divine spirit, one divine source. And it is operating in me, through me, as me, as well as in you, through you, and as you. And I recognize that this divine love, this divine spirit, is exactly my true nature. And so I embrace that. I become alive with it. And I open up my awareness to today's talk from Reverend Abigail and learn amazing spiritual tools that will enliven me, that will enlighten me, that will evolve me into a better, kinder, gentler human. And I know that this is exactly where I need to be, where I am, one with this community, one with this love, one with this world. Love, compassion, spirit, that is who we are, that is who I am, and that is CSL Bellingham. And so it is.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Abigail Shire, and I'm the senior minister here, and it's a delight to be yours. I'll just say that. And if you're here for the first time, my pronouns are she and her, and my ancestry hails from Ireland, Germany, and Prussia, which contains a lot of countries right now. So I'm from all of those places, including the ones I'm going to guess probably Ukraine and Russia, which are in war right now. So there's a lot of history in me and a lot of history in this room. And there's a lot of history in our teaching. We are part of the New Thought Movement, and the New Thought Movement has been happening for quite a while, before any of us were born, and it's really awesome to be participating in the evolution of it. So yesterday, I was teaching ministerial students, and we were talking about contemporary applications of science of mind. And if people don't know what science of mind is, it's basically our philosophy, our teaching, science of mind. And it was created by a man named Ernest Holmes. And Ernest Holmes was studying the transcendental movement. He was studying various religions. He was at the time of Carl Jung. He was studying philosophy and science. And he wanted in an overall way to describe how he experienced spirit, the universe, source, or God, however you call it, in one beautiful teaching. And so he created the science of mind. And he wrote a book in the 20s, 1926, actually 100 years ago, called The Science of Mind. And it was quite an evolutionary book. It's something that we use a lot in our, well, not as much anymore in our classes, because it has the language of the 1920s in it, which is much different than how we speak today. And I wrote a totally different talk before I taught this class, this ministerial school class yesterday, to some amazing ministers across the country. And there was just some really golden nuggets that came out of the class that I thought would be helpful and interesting to you, hopefully. So one of the things that we were talking about is, how does this teaching that's 100 years old, how does it relate today? How is it contemporary? What does it mean for us, and what's really going on in the world right now? And the good news is it's completely relevant and absolutely helpful information. However, the New Thought Movement and Science of Mind has gone through its own evolution. And I will say, in the beginning, in the beginning, there was this whole idea of shifting people from going to experiencing God or Source or the universe. Here we're not attached to what word you use. Some people love the word God and some people really don't. So I use multiple words for whatever it is. For me, I call it God. And you might just call it the quantum field. And in the beginning, we went in our teaching from telling people that you don't have to externally petition this infinite universe for things that you want or need. Instead, we are coming to an internal realization that the good of the universe is already present in this experience right now. And it's in and through and as us, and we have complete access to it immediately. We don't have to petition anybody else or go through anybody else. It's right here, right now. And that's how we began. And there's the part of that came at a time with the self-help movement, was really much in alignment with what we were teaching. And that was coming to the realization that I am a center of where divine good is created, and I can have an experience of life that is beneficial for me. And part of it, there's something that one of the ministerial students said, Ian said, you know, we really were teaching how to fill your cup up. When you have an empty cup, how do you fill up your cup? And we still teach that. If you come in here, your cup is empty, you don't know, you're having trouble with finances, you're having problems with relationships, you're having problems with your body health and well-being, you might have a disconnection or challenges in your family. This teaching is here to help you fill up your cup, to release all of those habits, behaviors, inherited ways of being that you might have taken on that has been unhelpful for you, and to release it so you can live a life that's extraordinary and thriving. And so that's kind of like step one. That's like chapter one in our teaching. And we still teach that. However, there's an evolution in our teaching that is about, once the cup is full, the cup runneth over. And when the cup runneth over, as Ian described it, he said that it could just have, you know, liquid everywhere just hanging out around us in a big puddle, or we can share it. And so our teaching is about, when your cup runneth over, that's a time to share your gifts in the world and to really exchange and be a conscious contributor of the greater whole. Because the other part of our teaching is that we're all part of the whole. We're part of the infinite everything. We're in the body of God, just like a cell in the body of God. And we affect everything else. And so once I get clear on helping myself and tuned into a healthy, vibrant life, then I have the opportunity to participate in co-creating something even bigger. But I'm coming from a place of wholeness. I'm coming from a place of abundance. I'm coming from the place of ease and grace and joy and love. And I have the capacity to make an impact on the greater world. So that's, and our teaching was very much the first part focused. And in our own evolution is now getting more outward focused on the world. And it's a transition. It's a transition, and it's a beautiful transition, and it's also the both and. So it's not like we're you can't help yourself. You know, it's like you still need to go through that process. And here I am, whenever I'm speaking to you, some of you are here for the very first time, and you're like, yeah, I want to know those tools and how to help myself and have a thriving life. And then there's people who've been in this teaching for many, many years, and you're like, I've been there, done that, and I'm ready to move to the next level of evolution. And that's where our teaching is really focusing on as a global scale. From our home office, from our international headquarters, we're really looking at what is the global impact that we can make. So just a couple of golden nuggets I want to say. I loved Ian's example of the cup overflowing, and it's a yes and. Cynthia said, new thought is a living story. The first chapter was consciousness shapes our experience. So our own awareness of life shapes our reality. And now we've moved into the next chapter of our theology and our evolution, and we have the pen. We are creating the next iteration of who we are. And Elaine talked about how we are a spiritual tradition that's deeply rooted. However, we've never been a static movement. We value discovery over dogma. However, sometimes our limitations has been the focus just on the individual, which is essential. However, it's a both and. It's the individual and the collective. And so in order for us to have compassionate action out in the world, we must have inner transformation in order to create conscious action. And that's really important. And Amy said the real evolution is not in the teaching, it's in us. That the inner work and the outer work are not incompatible, that we work on ourselves in order to prepare for the work in the world. So the question is, are we willing to evolve in a way that expands our reach and impact in the globe? Are we personally willing to be that evolutionary place? Because it's an inside job, and then we move forward. And Marcia talked about how this external petitioning was the beginning, that Ernest was talking about, there's a good for us, and we ought to have it. Actually, that was Emma, that Ernest stole from Emma Curtis Hopkins. there's a good for us, and we ought to have it. And then we get to that place of internal realization of our own personal good, but the ultimate goal in life is the freedom of discord for everybody. So freedom from anything that's discordant. So a freedom from having that internal and external discord. Complete emancipation, freedom for all, is what Marcia was talking about. And in order for us to do that, we need to be in a harmonious condition of right thinking. So, and when we become in that harmonious condition of right thinking, we tune into the Christ consciousness of the universe, and we create a more joyful world for everybody. All of this is really inspiring yesterday to me. I just want to say I love teaching because I get so much. It's just really, really beautiful. So the underneath it all is that we have a radical evolutionary teaching. And the question is, how do we use love as a cosmic force? Because when we do, we are free of condemnation and fear. So it's interesting. So this month, we're talking about the fear and the furious. And this month, I've adopted from our global themes, which was created by a group of visionaries last year, who invite any Center for Spiritual Living to adopt our theme, our global theme, if you choose to take it on, which I said yes to that. And we're not taking on easy topics. And I think that in the past, things were more formulaic. And then if you look at Ernest Holmes, whenever he was talking in the 50s and the 60s, there was an understanding that there's a deeper tapestry to life that's happening that we are a part of. And it's a little bit more complex than a very simple formula. And how do you talk about it all? Well, I encourage you to take classes because we get deep in the classes, especially in that our art and science and spiritual mind treatment class. Wow, for the people who are taking that class, it's been very powerful and filled with depth, because I think that the people who are coming to centers like these are at a depth of an evolution in their own personal lives, but also there's an attraction to communities like this because there's something bigger happening. It's something exciting. It's something that you can feel but not necessarily articulate. So the fast and the, not the fast and the furious, the fear and the furious is what my topic was, which I wrote this whole talk, 4 pages, and I'm already halfway through with telling you really cool nuggets from the ministerial students. So maybe I'll get into the fear and the furious. I was talking to my therapist the other day. Yes, I have a therapist, and I would encourage everybody to both get a therapist and a practitioner. Highly encouraged, I have both. Because one is my mental health, and the other one is about my spiritual health. And I see them both monthly, and I'm very grateful. But I was talking to my therapist about anger, because anger is you know, the fury. And I think that in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s, there was a bit, I'm just going to, my impression, although I was only here in this teaching in the 2000s, a bit of spiritual bypass happening, where there wasn't a conversation about anger, or it was like, just ignore it, just be happy, you know, just look at the good. Instead of turning in to the anger and questioning, what is the benefit of anger? Why is it here? Do you think that the great creator made a mistake when it created you and all of your emotions? And if you don't think that it made a mistake when it created you and all of your emotions, then the anger must be worth something. It must be present and part of something that maybe is good. And I've had an issue with anger because what I did is I just suppressed it and I just pretended like I was never angry. By the way, it doesn't work. It comes out in very unhealthy ways and also affects one's body. And so I have been working on my own anger and have found some clarity in it. And maybe if you've had any anger when you've looked at a headline or looked at the gas station or looked at the, you know, people commenting rudely to each other online, maybe you too might be experiencing anger. So what to do with the anger is the question. If it's not a detriment, if it's not, you know, if it's something good, what do we do with it? Well, the African tradition, the West African tradition and the Yoruba tradition, they have an orisha, which is like a divine force of nature called Shango. And Shango is the god of thunder, lightning, fire, and justice. And it's one of the great forces that causes creation, transformation in creation, I will say. So Shango, they call upon Shango when they're ironsmithing their tools. So there's a great fire that is about the fire of transformation, and it helps the tools form into something that's useful. And they also talk about Shango as what happens when the fire goes untended, that the fire can also destroy houses and communities. And so it's not the fire or Shango that's the issue. It's what do we do with it? Are we tending to it, or are we abandoning it and shoving it down? And so that's the big invitation. We're going to explore this all month, we as in me and a lot of other ministers, because I'm doing a pulpit exchange with Unity next week. So Reverend Frank's going to be here. You'll have the pleasure of him. And Reverend Don Beatty will be the following week, and then I'll be back. So we're all exploring the power of anger and fear. So the power of anger for me, what I've recognized is it is a tool of identifying something that needs to be changed in my life. So for instance, when I get angry, I have to ask what's underneath that. It could be something as simple as I am not taking care of myself. So when you feel the anger, you might ask yourself, what is the loving action that is coming up for me to do? So for me, sometimes I get hangry. Anybody else get hangry? If I have not eaten, if I just get really distracted, I get into things and I can get distracted and I could go, and then forget to eat lunch or something like that. And then all of a sudden I'm hangry. Well, the loving self-care thing is for me to eat some healthy, delicious food and to move on. Or I could be grumpy because I didn't get enough sleep. So what is the loving care? Other things that have come up for me is when I get angry, I've had times when I recognize somebody crossed my boundaries. And I didn't even know I had a boundary there until they crossed it. And then I'm like, oh, I'm angry because they crossed my boundary. However, what I need to know is, have I ever communicated that boundary to them? Maybe I didn't even know I had that boundary until just now. And so it gives me an opportunity to have conscious conversations with people and also get clear on what is workable for me and what is not workable for me. So for me, I've had in the past a conversation about somebody who crossed my boundary, knowing that I can't really be mad at them for crossing my boundary when I never even communicated to them that I had a boundary there for them to cross. But once they cross it and I got clear, it gives me an opportunity to have that conscious conversation with them and to have a clearer relationship with them and new agreements met. So that's one way that I've utilized my anger. Another way is I feel anger because there's things happening in this particular country that's probably happening elsewhere too. But for me, there's a conflict with my values. And so I need to know what my values are. What are my values? Well, one of my values is equity. One of my values is sustainability and earth loving and protection and knowing that we're part of this bigger ecosystem. And so when things are happening out in the world or this particular country that aren't in alignment with that, I get angry. But what do I do with the anger? I get to feel the anger first. I get to process the anger. And then I ask myself, what is the loving action? So we as an organization have moved from the individual looking in to the external, knowing that we are part of one conscious creation that is the all in all. So spirit source universe is everywhere present, and every action that I take has a ripple effect on everything else around me. So that's where I go, if I want to be living in a world that has, a care for the earth or is equitable, first of all, I look at myself, am I being in alignment with my own values? Am I doing the actions? Do I need to shift something in myself? And then also, if I'm in this country that is perhaps making a law or making a way of being that is not in service, how can I be an advocate for those things that I value the most? How can I vote? How can I take a stand for things? How can I speak to things so that others know that this is important to me, that our earth is important to me, that equity is important to me? And what does that look like in practical ways of being? So the anger, again, is I'm tending to my anger. I'm not using my anger as a force against anybody. I'm using it as a tool for my own transformation that I could use love as an action. So that's where the juice is. This teaching, not always easy. Because the invitation is for you to take the high road of love. It doesn't mean you ignore your anger. It doesn't mean you suppress your anger. It doesn't mean you don't, have anger, because we all do. It means that you take a conscious responsibility for the benefit that the anger is bringing to you and gives you clarity for what actions you want to do. What are the loving actions, either to yourself or out in the world? And so that is really the discernment that I have for you today. Yay. So, choosing love does not mean that you're choosing only niceness. It just means that you're choosing to take actions in a way that are in alignment with your values, your boundaries, or your self-care. And I recognize that we are here as beautiful, blessed beings, filled with all of our emotions that are a blessing, even the hard ones. So that is my talk for today. Come back next week for more continuation that Reverend Frank will be doing with you. And for now, let's pray. I am so grateful to be participating in a community, in an organization that is about the evolution of consciousness. That my own personal consciousness, my own awareness around consciousness, creates a life for me that is an impact on myself and others. And I get to choose to see where I can be a benefit in the world. That each and every person here is a divine light. Each and every person was born into this body that is filled with a diverse expression of emotions. And so I claim and know that all of those emotions are blessings. I choose to see my own anger as a benefit for my action in the world and towards myself. I know and claim that the infinite universe, God itself, Goddess itself, is here to remember the love that it came here to be. And so I am remembering. I am putting all of the pieces together. I'm remembering who I am. And I know and claim that because I am remembering, that each and every person here is remembering who they are. What was the highest and greatest love action? What is the highest and greatest love action? What will be the highest and greatest love action? It is the action that I choose right here and right now to collapse reality into a way that supports an unfolding of life that is a joyful expansion of the Christ consciousness. This consciousness is my consciousness. This consciousness is the consciousness in each and every person here. There is a power and a force for good in the universe, and we are here to utilize it in all of its various ways. And so I claim and know that I am a blessing, that each and every person here is a blessing, and that this unfolding day and week and month is a blessing of clarity, of discernment, of divine right action that happens in a way that allows us to speak up, to say yes, and to take a stand for that love that we are in the world. I'm grateful to know it, to claim it, to accept it, to embody it, to embrace it, to see it, to feel it, to know it. And to release this prayer in gratitude and appreciation, knowing that the universe is already acting upon these very words right here and right now. So I let it go and let it be. And so it is. Thank you.